2 zu shamati and the Gemara comments on that pasuk nikra echad yotze lekama tamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that there are many psukim where there's more than one level of interpretation. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos ein hamikra yotze midei pshuto. So some misunderstand that to mean that only pshuto shel mikra is acceptable and everything else is not emes. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos writes, that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says that there was an Amora who learned so many years, and he never knew that Pshuto Shel Mikra is also binding. He thought only the drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh are binding. Till one fine day after learning many, many years, Torah Shebal Peh, the Rebbe told him a Chiddush, and Amiki Yetz B'dei Pshuto, the Pshuto Shel Mikra is also binding. Not only the drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh, Pshuto is also binding. So we assume that the Pshuto is binding, and you can have more than one level of interpretation on any given pasuk. So the opening pasuk, the Gemara in different places, Tosfos points out, one in different places has two different levels of interpretation, of understanding. Ela mishpatim shetosem lifneihem, in front of whom? So one Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tezvav, says that hishva kosev isha liish. These dinim apply equally to all the people in the community, that the men and the women have all the same dinim. As far as dinim amin is, they're all the same. We had a Gemara in Bava Mitzia, where the Mechaber and the Rambam and the Rif Paskin, that chotzer of a woman is mitam yad, and chotzer of a man is mitam shliach. Such a strange Gemara. In mitzvahs, you have a difference between men and women. How can you have in dinim amin is? Very strange. So that's, it's against this pasuk, it's a problem. So that's one level of interpretation. Hishva kosev ishlish lechol dinim shabbat Torah. Everything here, Nizikin and all these dinim apply equally to the men and to the women. Then Gemara has another level of interpretation. Ela mishpatim shetasim lifneihem, lifneihem velo lifnei arkoes, lifneihem velo lifnei hediotos. That you shouldn't go to the non-Jewish, to the secular court, and you shouldn't go to a court that consists of balabatim who don't have smicha. You have to go v'nikra balabais elho Elohim. Elohim lashon chol means dayanim. You have to go to dayanim smuchim. Dayanim will have smicha. So lifneihem is referring to dayanim smuchim as opposed to hedyotas and as opposed to arkoyas. You shouldn't go to secular court. If a person goes to secular court and he wins money from another Jew according to secular law but not in accordance with halacha, that's outright gzela. He's not entitled to it. We're talking, you're not allowed to go to arkoyas, you're not allowed to go to secular court even to retrieve that amount of money that you're entitled to, that you're legally entitled to it according to halacha. Unless you have no brera. Let's say a person, he goes to the Bezna and the other one doesn't want to go to Bezna. He went to Bezna and it's already 30 years late and he still didn't pay him. 30 years later he still didn't pay. Then he has a right to go to court. The Bezna will give him permission to go to court. The din is lifnei, velo lifnei arkoes. You're not allowed to go to the goyishe court because that'll be a bitl mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go to a din Torah if the Bezna will be able to help you out. It can be taken care of. If you see you're not getting anywhere with the Bezna, no, the Bezna is a crooked Bezna. Unfortunately, such things exist. Then you're allowed to go to secular court to retrieve the amount of money that you're entitled to.
How does lifnei mean not lifnei hediotos?
Right. So the Tosfos has quotes from Rashi and from other Balei Tosfos has two pshatim. Lifnei is referring to elaskenim amar, the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the last few pshatim. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Shivim Zekenim. So lifnei refers to the Shivim Zekenim. Lifnei lo lifnei adyotis. Or lifneihem, Ela mishpatim shetasim. Lifnei is referring to Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. That's mentioned three times in the parsha. That refers to the Shlosha Dayanim Smuchim. So Tosfos has the two shades of interpretation. Whether lifnei refers to the Shivim Zekenim, or lifnei refers to the Elohim, Loshen Chol, the Dayanim Smuchim, who are mentioned in the parsha.
The secular court system, often, especially with in the medical areas with malpractice and stuff like that, often the sums are they are blown out of proportion. How is it possible? Let's say one has the option to go to a base in, and as Rabbi said, the option becomes a moot point because either the other person doesn't want to go or they see he's not paying. And then, but once they go to secular court, sometimes they have their own way of like dealing with it, so that the money that you request might not actually be. Meaning, let's say you really deserve $1 million. So if you request $1 million, then you might get $200,000. So how does one navigate that? realm to make sure that he's actually getting what he's entitled to within the secular court system.
He's not allowed to take more, but he's allowed to take less. I mean, if he really owes me $1 million, they'll only give me a quarter of a million. They'll only give me a third of a million. Okay. So what can I do?
But he definitely can't claim.
Not allowed to take more than you're entitled to.
But if you know you could get $1 million, if you claim $2 million, then is that mutter?
No, that's not mutter. That's not mutter.
What about the opposite case? What if you have a right to go to court, so you sue someone for a few $1,000s, whatever happened, something happened, and the court decided that this person committed such an ovel against you, they add on punitive damages, several $1 million. Are you allowed to take that money? Do you have to refuse it? Can you refuse it?
Pashta says you should not take it. You should only take the amount that you're entitled to.
Secular law has a fine penalty between two people. It happens to be Jewish, but and there's no Torah law that would require a person to pay in that case. So are you allowed to take him to secular court to pay?
Not allowed to. The din is grama benezikin is pata. The din is boshes dvarim is pata. A lot of things are pata. So if you're going to go to court and force him to pay boshes dvarim and grama benezikin, that's gzeila. It's chai b'din shamayim. That's his cheshbon. Whether he's interested in being yotzei yidei shamayim. Grama benezikin is pata medayana v'chai b'din shamayim. But to go to court, if the secular court should force the person to pay a grama benezikin, or Boshes Dvarim, that's a violation of Gezel. You're not allowed to force him, even though he's Chai B'din Yishamayim, but you're not allowed to pressure him to pay that money.
Is it called Gzeila if you do it, if he's Chai B'din Yishamayim anyway?
Yeah, the Pashto says that it is Gzeila. Rashi has a Chiddush that Tfisa helps. Whenever there's a Chiv Lotzi Sidei Shamayim, she Tfisa helps. So that's a question in Halacha, whether we accept that Rashi. Could be that Rashi didn't say it on all cases of B'din Yishamayim. Let's say Grama Menezikin is Potem B'diyan V'chaim B'din Yishamayim. Rashi probably will not say over there that the Tfisa would help. Rashi has it by Kom Lebi Dirab Mine that Tfisa would help, but not by all cases where Yechayv Lotz and Sidei Shamayim.
Is libel considered Boshes Dvarim?
Yeah. Boshes Dvarim is Potem B'din Yishamayim. You're not Chayv.
What about copyright infringement? According to Allah, there's no penalty for that.
I mean, the guy was mafsid me a lot of money. He violated the copyright law and he was mafsid me a lot of money. So the Bezin really should make a Hayru Ashur. The Bezin should do something. Because otherwise the whole world is going to be Hefker. So sometimes they have to take a stand and make a Hayru Ashur. Makam Yonshin Shalem and Adin. La Hayru Ashur la Migda Milsa.
Are you supposed to take somebody to
Bezin
and then pay you back?
You're supposed to go to Bezin to enforce payment also, not only for the question to determine whether he owes the money, even if it's clear that he owes the money, he's supposed to go to Bezin. But if you go to Bezin, he doesn't listen to the Bezin. So the Bezin should give me permission to go to the secular court, because Bezin doesn't have authority, they have no power. So they should give authority, they should give permission. I should go to secular court to collect what I'm entitled to.
The question is not about secular court. The question is whether there's a chiyuv on a person to clarify the issue. Am I mechuyev to take that guy that never paid me back to Bezin?
And he admits that he owes the money. There's nothing to clarify. He admits that he owes the money. The only thing is he doesn't want to pay. It's 30 years later, he still didn't pay. So then I'm allowed to go to court.
But is there a chiyuv on me to take him to Bezin?
If it'll help. There's a chiyuv to take him to Bezin. If by going to Bezin it'll help, that'll pay the money. If he's fifed on, there's already 30 years, then there's no chiyuv to bang your head against the wall. You're not getting anywhere going to Bezin. So if you go to secular court, they'll force him to pay. So go to secular court.
Basin is still delivering on the issue, and you know that within a few months the statute of limitations is up and you won't be able to win the secular court. Is there any means to say to Basin, if you don't give me a decision within these next few weeks, could you give me permission to go to secular court?
Is that
feasible?
Yeah, that's very reasonable. That's very reasonable.
Isn't there a Gemara, I think, Rava, there's a Bava of Paris who broke some of his stuff. And then they paid him back, or they stole some stuff, or broke some stuff, and they paid him back, and he refused to take it because they thought they were Chayav Yidin Adam, he thought they were Chayav Yidin Shemayim. Rav and Rashi say that tfisa would help by telling the Rav Minei.
Right, that's Taisa's kasha against Rashi. Taisa asked that kasha. Yeah. So these two levels of interpretation, this is a question, can you combine them together? Lifnehem, on the one level of interpretation, is referring to the Balidinim, Hishva, Kosav, Isha, Liish, men and women are included. What about the other level of interpretation? Elam, Shpatam, Shtasa, Lifnehem, the Dayanim. So can you say Dayanot also? Hishva, Kosav, Isha, Liish, in the area of Dayanus, the women rabbis? The Halacha would approve of a women rabbi? So that's what Tosis raises this issue. Can you combine the two levels of interpretation that Lefnei means both men and women, and Lefnei means Dayanim, to come up with the maskana that women can serve as Dayan? So apparently, Tosis thinks a woman can have smicha. Otherwise, what's the question whether she can serve as a Dayan? Apparently, Tosis thinks there's nothing wrong with a woman getting smicha. The shaila is maybe Isha Psula Lodon, because we usually have a klal from the Mishnah. Whoever is pasul eidus is pasul to serve as a dayan kroivim, or ganovim, or rishoim. A pasul eidus, they're pasul a dayanis, but not everyone is pasul a dayanis is pasul eidus. Let's say a person is an amhoritz, he's not knowledgeable. So he's not kosher to serve as a dayan, but he is kosher to serve as an aid. That's a mishnah nida. Call a pasul lahoid pasul ladan, v'yeshe pasul ladan, v'en a pasul lahoid. So that's what Tosis raises the question. Can you say that a woman can serve as a dayan? The Sefer Achinuch, when he quotes all the mitzvahs of dayanim, so he'll always conclude the mitzvahs unahegas b'scharim v'lo b'nikevus, because he assumes that the women cannot serve as dayan. But then when it comes to dinim about paskening shailas, so then the Sefer Achinuch will write v'din zeh shavah b'scharim b'nikevus, because paskening shailas, if a woman knows the dinim, she can pasken the shailas. But if a woman, even if the woman knows chashem mishpat, the Sefer Achinuch assumes a woman cannot serve as a dayan in a din Torah.
How is it right that a woman can have speech? Maybe it means
Tosis is talking on the level of deraisa. Tosis has the two drushes. Lifnei means men and women. Lifnei means smuchim, dayanim, not hedyotis. So can you combine the two drushes together and say that Lefnei means smuchim both men and women? Dayanim, women also good? Oh no, Isha, since she's psula lahid, is psula ladon. Why don't you just say, a woman can't have smicha? Only one is kosher to serve as a dayan is one who has smicha. So apparently that issue didn't bother Tosis. The only issue they had was, whether kol pasul lahid pasul ladon applies to women as well. Maybe it only applies to men. That a rasha or a karev, was pasul lahoid is also pasul ladon, but women are not in the parsha of eidus. Not that a woman is psula la eidus. Women doesn't have a shem eid at all. That's what the tumim, right? The tumim says that there are six people where we don't apply the psula of nimtzach and men eidim karva pasul eidus kulam betelo. If you had three witnesses who all testified in front of Bezdin, and one of them is pasul, so the other two are also no good. That's the din of karva pasul. So the tumim says. So that's what perhaps the pshat in Tosis is. Tosis is not sure whether the rule that appears in the Mishnah, kol apostol lahoid, apostol ladun, maybe it only applies to men who are apostol lahoid. That Russia is a psul eidus, and today said, Ral Tashi said, Chom Russia, Leah said, Chomas, Russia is a psul eidus, so the psul eidus carries over to Dayanus. And Kroivim apsulim, Liyim Sa'avas al-Banim, but Banim Liyim Sa'alavas, and the Torah Shabbat understands Liyim Sa'avas be'edus Banim, but Banim Liyim Sa'be'edus Avas. That's how you know that Kroivim Apsulim Le'edus, so that since it's Kurva, it's a Paslus Ve'edus, it's also a Paslus Ve'dayan. But Isha, it's not a Paslus, it's just a woman. These six people don't have a Shem Eid at all. So just because they don't have a Shem Eid doesn't necessarily mean that they're Pasul Ve'dayanus. Could be that the woman would be K'sher Elod. So that's the two opinions in Tosis. And the Sefer Achinuch always assumes that women are not kosher lodim, but women are mutter to paskin shailas if they know dinim. So that's why whenever it's an issue of paskining a shailah, he say mitzvah zunahegis b'schar menekevis. Whenever it's a mitzvah that only applies to the dayanim, he'll say mitzvah zunahegis b'schar menekevis kilohem mishpat ha-dayanus. Kilohem mishpat ha-din. The Pizchei Tshuva points this out, that the Sefer Achinuch distinguishes between the various cases.
And Rebbe, in practice, how do we accept the Sefer Achinuch halacha?
Yeah, that's the when the conservative seminary started to give smicha to women, that women should function as rabbis. So that's when Rabbi Shaul Lieberman was very upset. We don't fully understand what was going on over there. They didn't observe Taras HaMishpacha. The people had smicha from the seminar, many of them. They didn't observe Shabbos. They didn't exactly observe. They didn't wash until the Siddur before they ate bread. They didn't observe some of the other things. So this somehow didn't shake him up. But when they started to give smicha to women, he went ballistics. He said, this is against the tradition. And even though the 2 days in Tosis, no one ever held like that. It's already centuries and centuries. He has this strong letter. The way it's against all the tradition. He says, that was always a tradition. They never had women rabbis. And the Ramah, in the beginning of Choshen Mishpat, in the beginning of Yerideya, the first sif in Yerideya, so there's a machlokes in the opening Tosfos in Chulin, where the Ishek Shera Lishchot, is it acceptable if a woman will shecht the behema? There's a Mishnah in Zvachim, that a woman who shechts a korban is good, so why should it be Chulin, should be worse? So Tosfos quotes a sefer, Hilchos Omer Yoshua. There's a sefer that starts, Omer Yoshua mipi Moshe mipi Hagvura. This book was written directly quoting Yeshua ben Nun, who quoted Moshe Rabbeinu, who said the name of the Rebbeinu Shalom, has all of Hilchos Shechita there, and it doesn't correspond, living or dead, to anything that we follow. So that's the Tosfos and the Rosh and the Mordechai, all the beginning of Chulin, they quote all the wild things from the sefer, Hilchos Omer Yoshua. That's how it starts off, Omer Yoshua. It's supposed to be from the elder Adoni. He claimed that he came from Sheva Don, from the lost 10 tribes, and he wrote a whole din, the way they follow her. They follow all these dinim. So one of the dinim that elder Adoni wrote in his sefer is that that women cannot shech. So they said it's ridiculous. The Mishnah says in Zvachim that a woman can shech kochim. How can it be that a woman is psula to shech the chulin? So they faremfer there. They try to give the rutsim why women should be possible for shechitas chulin, despite the fact that the kosher for shechitas kosher. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that women may shech. However, it says the Ramah says the minhag is you don't appoint a woman to be the official shechet in town. If she wants to shech their own chicken, that's one thing. But to be the official shechet, that we don't do. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that in Europe, in every little village where they had a rav, so the shechet was always assumed to be the assistant rabbi. Shechet was the other person who knew Yerideya. He knew Chel Galif Yerideya. So whenever the rabbi would be on vacation, they would ask the shaylas of the shechet, the local shechet. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. The Ramah means that you shouldn't appoint a woman as the shechet ha'ir, because that's like a minoy, that's a srora. So that's some tos malach melach, melach v'lay malko. It's not proper to appoint a woman to a position of srora. It's a violation of tznius. So that's Tosis' discussion, where they combine the two drushes of Lifnehem. Torah starts right away with the dinam of Eved Ivri, and then you have dinam of Eved Kanaini, the difference. Eved Ivri is chayv in all the mitzvahs. Eved Kanaini is only chayv in mitzvahs ke'isha. He's potter from tzitzis and from tefillin and from all the mitzvahs aseh shazman grom. How do you know that an Eved Kanaini is only chayv in mitzvahs ke'isha? So the Gemara learns it after Gzer Shava lo lo me'isha. It says, because of lo sefer krisus, when a man wants to divorce his wife, so it says the word lo by a woman, then it says, hachub shala nitan lo by the shivcha harufa. So we learn, and it's unclear, the pasuk says by the shivcha harufa, hafdei loin of dasa, hachub shala nitan lo. So the Gemara interprets, hafdei loin of dasa, piduya, pidyon usually is ayde kesef. So one way to free an Eved Kanaini is ayde kesef. She wasn't freed neither Ayde Kesef Hapte Loin of Dosa, nor is she freed Ayde Shtar. Where do you see that the phrase Achuv Shala Nitan Lo has the connotation of Shtar? So the Gemara says, that's it, Lo Lo Meisha. Just like because of Lo Sefer Krisis means a Get Isha, a Shtar Gerishin. So Achuv Shala Nitan Lo, Zereshav Lo Lo means that you can be Meshachar and Eved Kanaini either Ayde Shtar or Ayde Kesef. And his Yotze Lecheris completely, either Kesef or Kesef Gaim Abba or Shtar Gaim Abba, completely free. If the person is Mafke his Eved Kanaini, so Hefke is only Chal on the Kinyan Mammon. So the Gemara assumes that one who owns an Eved Kanaini doesn't only have a Kinyan Mammon, which lends itself to Hefke. If you're Mafke the Eved Kanaini, so you no longer have a right to make him work for you. But the Odon who owns an Eved Kanaini also has what we call a Kinyan Iser. In the Eved Kanaini, what's the significance of the Kinyan? He says, so number one, the din is that Eved Kanaini shall koin is echel betruma. So you see that even with respect to Hilchas Issa v'Heter, the din of the status of the Eved Kenani is different. Number two, in Kedushin Topsim v'Eved Kenani, is a different kind of a person. And number three, the Gemara has a din in Ha'orel, in the first daf in Yevam, is dafai in the Perek Ha'orel. Eved Kenani cannot become a Munah on a Korban Pesach without authorization and reshus from his Adon. You know, the Eved Kenani is friendly with a different person. The other person wants to be Memana him on his Korban Pesach. He has to have authorization from his own Adon. And Eved Ivri is a free bird. Eved Ivri wants to become a Munah on a Korban Pesach. He's on his own. He doesn't have to ask authorization from his Adon. Eved Ivri shall koin his ein oichel b'truma. Eved Ivri kiddushin topsin. Eved Ivri can marry a regular Jewish girl, kiddushin topsin. So these three differences, these three dinim by the Eved Kenani indicate that the Eved Kenani has not only they have a kinyan mammon on the Eved Kenani, have a kinyan iser as well. So if you mishachet the Eved Kenani ayde kesef or ayde shtar, that's called kesef gaimabba and shtar gaimabba. It's completely freed. If you mishachet the Eved Kenani ayde hefker, so the hefker is only chal on the kinyan mammon, the kinyan iser remains. That's how we paskan. Mafker avdoi. If you mafker the Eved Kenani, yotze lecheres, the hefker is chal on the kinyan mammon, but tzor get shichur. The Eved Kenani still needs a shtar shichur in order to free the aspect of the kinyan iser. What's the din if you're mafker and Eved Ivri? So the Gemara says Eved Ivri is also gufa konui. Eved Ivri also, the Adon owns the Eved Ivri. Eved Kenani is more so gufa konui. Eved Kenani belongs to the Adon kishora b'chamoro. That's the Lashon HaGemara in Baba Kama. Kishora b'chamoro. Eved Ivri, the Gemara says, is not some, the Eved is meshubet to service me for the next 6 years. I own the Eved with respect to his obligation to work for me for 6 years. That's called the Kinyan Gufa Konoi. That's what the Rishonim have an expression. That's like Deka Leperis. Deka Leperis is an expression later in the first pairing and later in Bava Metzia. If I want to sell you Peris Dekal that are going to grow in Tavshin Ayin Hay, Habo Aleinu Letoiva. This is only Tavshin Ayin Gimel. I want to sell you the Peris that I didn't even plant yet, Tavshin Ayin Hay. So the din is that you cannot make a kinyan on a dovish la baliyol. What if the trees already are there? The trees in the field are there. And I say, whatever apples will grow on the trees, and shnas, tavshinayin hay should belong to you. So the Gemara says it depends how you word it. If you say, I'm making a kinyan to give you or to sell you the peiris that didn't grow yet in tavshinayin hay, I'm making a kinyan on a dovish la baliyol, that's not valid. But if I say, I own the trees that exist already, I give you Shutfis in the trees, Dekel Lipeiris. I give you the ownership of the trees with respect to the din. Whoever owns the kark, whoever owns the trees, owns the peiris that grow from the trees. That's called Aroi Ashbach, Hakarka Shali Hishbich, Aroi, Artsi. There's Aroi, Sukkis Diris Aroi. That's spelled Ayin Reish Aleph Yud. And Aroi Ashbach is spelled Aleph Reish Ayin Yud. Aro. Ara means karka. Ara'i, Aleph Reish Ayin Yud is a karka shali. I remember when I never learned in Eretz Yisrael for a whole year. When I was your age, the system wasn't yet developed. So I was going to go to Eretz Yisrael. I was going to go to Eretz Yisrael after learning for many years here. I was going to go to Eretz Yisrael, so I went to get a visa. So they stamped on my passport, Toshav Aroi, temporary resident. And they spelled it wrong, Toshav Aroi. They spelled it Aleph Reish Ayin Yud. That's not correct. Toshav Aroi means temporary. Temporary residence. That's supposed to be spelled Ayin Reish Aleph Yud. So here there's a klal Aroi Ashbach HaKarka Shali Hishbiach spelled Aleph Reish Ayin Yud. Aroi Ashbach. So the Gemara says, if I want to sell you the pears that are going to grow Tavshin Ayin Hay, that's a dovish labali olam. You can't make a kinyan on the pears. But if I word it differently, I say I'm making a kinyan with you, I'm giving you ownership of the trees, which do exist. That's a dovish labali olam. You should own the trees with respect to Aroi Ashbach of Shnas Tavshin Ayin Hay. So you already own the trees now with respect to that. So Aroi Ashbach before Tavshin Ayin Hay is mine. Aroi Ashbach after Tavshin Ayin Hay is mine. And the trees themselves are also mine. Not that in Shnas Tavshin Ayin Hay you can chop down the trees. You only own the trees with respect to the right to say Aroi Ashbach and Tavshin Ayin Hay. So that's called Dekel LePeiris. I'm selling you the Dekel with respect to the Peiris. That solves the problem of Dovish La Baliyam. So the Rishonim and the Achrayim, but it already says in Rishonim say, when the Gemara says in the first Perek in Kiddushan, Adapta Zayin, The Gemara says that Eved is also Meris. The Gemara proves from the Mishnah, Eved Ibri Gufa Kanei. It's not to the same extent Gufa Kanei as an Eved Knani. Eved Knani Ayon Kishori Bachamori. And Eved Ibri Ayon Deka Leperis. But it's not just that he owes me services. If he owes me services, then if I say I'm Moichel, so Mechila would be Chal on Schusim, on Shibudim. It's Mechila doesn't work. I own the Eved Ibri Deka Leperis. If I'll be mafka the Eved Ivri, then the hefka will be chal. So that's a famous machlekes Tosfos in the Ramban. A mafka Eved Knaini, so the hefka will be chal on the kinyan mamon, but it can't be chal on the kinyan iser. So a mafka Eved Knaini yotzal acheres with zorach get shichur, still have the right to get shichur to be mishachar the kinyan iser. So what about by Eved Ivri? Is there a kinyan iser on an Eved Ivri or not? So Tosfos claims there is no kinyan iser because all the three dinim. Eved Ivri shall coin his own echel betruma. Eved Ivri doesn't require authorization from the Adon to be allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. So all the Ivri is chayv and mitzvahs. Eved Ivri is shikidi shishes mekudeshes. Everything is the same as a regular Jew. So Tosfos claims there's no such thing as a kinyan isa and an Eved Ivri. There's only kinyan moment. So if the Adon is mafke the Eved Ivri, is yotzal lecheres and he doesn't need a shtar shichur. The Ramban disagrees and says, what are you talking about? Eved Ivri is mutter b'shivcha k'nainis. Everybody else does an issa derais also b'shivcha k'nainis. So from the fact that Eved Ivri is mutter b'shivcha k'nainis, that itself is a clear indication that there is a kinyan issa on the Eved Ivri. What does Tosfos do with that? How can Tosfos assume that by Eved Ivri there's no kinyan issa, but they know he's mutter b'shivcha k'nainis? So Tosfos gives an explanation. It's a very mechudish dik explanation. Tosfos there in Yevamos, the Afayinam Ayinam at base explains that the Eved Ivri is muta b'shivcha k'nainis because he does it in the line of duty. Rabba Moshe lo shivcha k'nainis because the pasuk says ki mishnas chasochei rabotcha. Mishnah means double, kefil, shenish, shtei pamim. The Eved Ivri ovid bayom u'balaylo. Another laborer, another worker, only works from 9 to 5. He works bayom. He doesn't work balaylo. And the Eved Ivri is Ovid Bein Bayom and Bein Balayla. What is he working all day and all night? When does he go to sleep? So the Gemara says, no. Rabba Moshe lo Shivcha K'nainis. So then he's Ovid as Rabba Balayla. He's Moilid V'lodis from the Shivcha K'nainis. So Tosfos says the reason why the Eved Ivri is Mutter B'Shivcha K'nainis is because there's no Isser. Because since he's Meshubet to do whatever the Adon wants him to do, the Adon wants him to father the children by the Shivcha K'nainis. So he does it in the line of duty, so there's no Isser at all. It turns out there's no Isser. So it's a Pella, Rabbi Yosef Englis, there's a Pella. And if the Adon wants the Eved Ivri to work on Shabbos, and if the Adon wants the Eved Ivri to cook Basar B'Cholah, so whatever is in the line of duty is Mutter, that's ridiculous. He's Jewish, he's not allowed to violate Averis. So obviously he's allowed to be with the Shivcha K'nainis. So Rabbi Yosef Engel explains, what is the mocker for the prohibition of Shivcha K'nainis? The pasuk that says, Le'ya Kodesh b'b'nei Yisrael, le'siya k'deshim b'b'nei Yisrael. Ein kiddushin tofsin between a Shivcha K'nainis and a Yisraelis, or between an Eved K'naini and a Yisraelis. There's no tvisis kiddushin. So there's no tvisis kiddushin, so it's always going to be hefkeris. So that's the pasuk, le'siya k'deshim b'b'nei Yisrael. A Jewish girl is not allowed to live with an Eved Kenani because that's Kedeshus, because it's Hefkeris. So the Tosfos apparently thinks, when do you say that it's a violation of Loya Kodesh, if a man lives with a Shivcha Knainis, it's Kedeshus, because he couldn't have Tfisis Kedushin. That's when he decides on his own he wants to sleep with the Shivcha Knainis. So you should only sleep with a woman whom you can be Mekadesh, in a form of marriage. But if Rabba Mosolo, the Odin has a right to be Mosolo Shivcha K'nainis, he does it in the light of duty, then it's not an act of hafkeris. So by definition, there's no violation at all of L'siya K'desha. That's quite a big chiddush. That's quite a very big chiddush. That's Tosfos Shita. That by Eved Ivri, there is no kinyan isa. There's only kinyan mamon. And if the Odin is mafke, the Eved Ivri, there's yotzal acheres, and that's the end of the story. There is no kinyan isa. And the Ramban interprets the Gemara Kedushin, Dafta Zayin, not like Tosfos. Ramban says, no, on Eved Ivri, gufa koni. Not only is there a kinyan mamon, there's a kinyan iser as well. And the kinyan iser doesn't lend itself to hefker, just like Eved Knaini. Kinyan iser doesn't lend itself to hefker. Hefker is only chal on kinyan mamon, not chal on kinyan iser.
I thought the Gemara in Kiddushin
and Tetzar
was making a
dig in the Mishnah.
They didn't mention that you can get rid of the Eved
Haidei Mechila. Star. Mishnah says you can be Meshach and Eved Ivri Haidei Star. So the Gemara asks, what do you need a shtar? The same thing that's written in shtar. Just say bal peh, I'm moichel you. Right. So Gemara says, shma mina, that mechila doesn't work.
I thought the Gemara was speaking
about
every
day. The Gemara
is
talking about every
day,
yeah.
Oh, isn't that, I don't understand. Tosa says that you can be mafkir and you don't need a star shepherd.
No, Tosa says the Gemara asks, why don't you just say, I'm moichel you? So the Gemara says, mechila wouldn't help. Because Ebedibi Gufakona, you own the Ebedibi like a deck on the pears. But if you mafke him, Hefker is Chalana Bien. Mechila is not Chalana Bien, but Hefker is Chalana Bien. And the Ramban and the Talmud Ramban learn no. So Samaris Ebedibi Gufakona means not only is there a Kenyan mom and there's a Kenyan Isser as well. And the Kenyan Isser doesn't lend itself to Hafkara either. Even if you mafke the Ebedibi, Hefker will only be chal on the Kenyan Mammon aspect. It won't be chal on the Kenyan Isser aspect. So that's a machlekes, Taisus and the Ramban. Is there a Kenyan Isser that the Odin has over the Eved Ivri? The Shar Melech writes a Sufik. Is it permissible for the Eved Ivri? The Eved Ivri on his own? The Odin doesn't ask him to be with the Shivcha Knainis in order to have lotus. The Eved Ivri falls in love with the Shivcha Knainis on his own. Is he allowed to be with her? So he writes he's not sure. So others write that this is a mefurish machlekes, Tosfos and the Ramban. Tosfos says that by Eved Ivri there is no kinyan iser. I house him muta b'shivcha knainis. He does it in the line of duty. So that's why it turns out there's no iser at all. So Tosfos holds only muta b'shivcha knainis. If the rabba mosalo, if he does on his own, it's awesome. And the Ramban is mefurish not. So the Ramban and the Ritva is more mefurish. He says, no, Eved Ivri is muta b'shivcha knainis, even if Rabbi is not mosalo shivcha knainis. That's because there is a Kenyan Iser on the Eved Ivri, because there's a Kenyan Iser. So that's what's mata him, shivcha knainis. So there are differences between, a lot of differences between Eved Ivri and Eved Knaini. The din of Eved being yotze b'shen v'yayin, and the psukim in Chumash, etc., that's only by Eved Knaini. By Eved Ivri, there is no such halacha. Eved Ivri is not yotze b'shen v'yayin. How does the Gemara know that? Because the pasuk says, if you sell your daughter as an amah hevia, king kirish is bita lama. So the Torah says, lo seitze kitzeso avodim. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Gemara never says what the pshuto shal mikra is. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. That's clearly not lefi pshuto. Lo seitze, she shouldn't have a yitzia lecheres. Ketzeso avodim haknainim. And ever knaini is yotze b'shen v'yayin. And Amor Ivriya is not Yotze B'Shen B'Yayin. Then the Gemara says, Ve'en li ala Amor Ivriya. What about an Eved Ivri? Is an Eved Ivri Yotze B'Shen B'Yayin? The Gemara says, no, because we have another Pasuk, Ki mocha l'cha achicha ha'ivri o ha'ivriya in Chumash Dvarim. So makish Ivri le'ivriya, they're put together, B'Nishim Achas, in one Pasuk. So just like the Ivriya doesn't have a Yetziya, B'Shen B'Yayin, lo Seitzei, she doesn't have a yitzia lecheres. Kitzei sovod, and like an ebeknayin is yitzia lecheres. Agadei shen v'yayin. So the Amo Ivriya is not yitzia b'shen v'yayin. And the other pasuk in Dvarim is makish. Ivri le'ivriya said, but Ivri is also not yitzia b'shen v'yayin. So this whole interpretation, this is an additional level of interpretation. This is not pshuto shal mikra. How do you translate pasha pshat? Chim kirish is bita lama lo seitze kitzei sovodim. She doesn't have a yitzia lecheres like an ebeknayin. That's a whole Torah Shabbat Peh. It's true, but that's an additional level of interpretation. What's the Pshuta Shal Mikra? So the Tur, in the Pirush HaTur Al HaTorah, the Tur says, he thinks that what it means is the following. In the days of Tanakh, the society was very tzonua, and they would never have, women would never walk around the streets. Like in some of the Arab countries, they still have like that. I don't know how tzonua they are, but they have such a practice. So the Torah says, if I bought an Amo Ivriya, do I have the right to ask her to go shopping and to go deliver packages and so on? So it says, Lo Seitze Kitzei Sabarim. You have no right to ask her to do things in public like a male Eved. Lo Seitze Kitzei Sabarim. She's a girl and you shouldn't treat her like a boy. You shouldn't ask her to do things outside in the street. You can ask her to wash the dishes in the house and diaper the baby and do the laundry and do things inside and to cook in the kitchen. But to ask it to do a yitzia, not a yitzia lecheres, that's a Torah Shabbat Peh. That's an additional level of interpretation. She doesn't have the yitzia like an Eved Knaini, the Haino, the Shem Yayin. That's heavy duty Torah Shabbat Peh. But the Pshuto Shal Mikra, that's what the Torah says, means you shouldn't ask her to do things in the street, because that's a violation of tznius. You have other psukim in the parsha, where there's more than one level of interpretation. Elokim loisa kalel v'nosi b'yamcha loisa or. So Elokim loisa kalel, the Rambam counts it twice in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. One mitzvah counts twice. One is Ashar l'makalel as Hashem. One is Megadef as Hashem is Chayv Skilo. As Hashem hu Megadef is Chayv Skilo. So the lav is Elokim loisa kalel. Then the Rambam quotes another level of interpretation. Elokim loshen chol, adayin who has smicha, nikol ba'is alhu alahim. Adayin who has smicha, you're not allowed to curse. You're not allowed to curse any Jew. Loshen kal chavish, you're not allowed to curse anybody. So whoever curses anybody is loike. Mekal chaver b'shem is loike. That's an exception to the rule, even though it's a lav shem b'maisa. So Rabbi Yechanan says, every lav shem b'maisa in loike malav chutz b'nish b'mei mekal chaver b'shem. If you curse someone, b'shem Hashem. So that's if the person is a plain person. What if the person has smicha and you curse a rabbi? So then it's a double is Elokim lo yisikalil. Loshen chol, Elokim lo yisikalil. So the Rambam counts it twice. And the Rambam says you get twice malchus. If you curse a dayan, he gets once malchus because he violated lo yisikal cherish. Gets a second time malchus because he has smicha. Then the Rambam has, and what if it's my father? So the one who curses his own father is over an additional aver. So if my father has smicha and I curse him, so I get three times malchus. What if my father happens to be the melech? He's the king. So the pasuk says, "V'nasi bi'amcha lo sa'or, or arecha arur." Lo sa'or means meloshin klola. Same thing. You're not allowed to curse the nasi. Who is the nasi? So the nasi means the melech. Does it also apply to the Rosh HaSanhedrin? So that's a question the Rambam and the Ramban. Because the Gemara says sometimes Nasi only applies to the Melech, sometimes Nasi applies also to the Rosh HaSanhedrin. He's also called the Nasi by the Lubavitcher. The Rebbe is called the Nasi. The Lubavitcher Rebbe used to refer to his father-in-law, the sixth Rebbe, as the Nasi. Made all big fuss about that. The Rosh HaSanhedrin is called the Nasi. So the Rambam quotes this from a Mechilta, that one who curses his father, who happens to have smich and happens also to be the Melech, gets four times malchus. Once because lesed kal cherish, he can curse anyone, Adam Israel. Secondly, because the father has smicha, elikim lesed kalel, anyone has smicha. Thirdly, because it's his father, that's a third love, not to be mekalel or vivima. And fourthly, because he's the melech and he gets malchus because nasi b'yamcha lo sa'or. The Mefarshim and the Rambam ask, that's a very nice mechilta, but the Rambam shouldn't have paskin like that, because Mekala lovi v'ima is usually b'misa. The Einish is b'skilo. So that's a lapshenitan lasaras misa bezin. Even if when he was about to curse his father, they warned him, don't curse your father, we're going to give you malchus. They forgot to say, we're going to give you misa. So we pass on a lapshenitan lasaras misa bezin, ain't loikimolo. A lap that can normally lead up to misa, even if the witnesses warned him, don't do this aver, we're going to give you malchus. You don't give malchus. Can't give Misa because they didn't want him for the Misa. He can't give Malkus because it's the wrong kind of an Avera. Averas only get Malkus if they're similar to Lasachsim Shabbadishon. Because the Pasuk of Malkus appears in Chumash right next to the Pasuk of Lasachsim Shabbadishon. So Lasachsim Shabbadishon is a plain down to earth love. If it's a love Shenitan Lasaris Misa's Bezin, it's a highfalutin love from the Yisurim Achamurim. So then it's not Dumi the love the Hasima, so you're not like it. So they ask, why did the Rambam quote this Mechilta Shaloi Kalocha? Mechilta follows that opinion of the Tanoim, Rabbi Shmuel, Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, in the third parak in Makkos, where the Lav Shenitan, Lasaris Mises Bezin, is Loikim Olav. So that's a difficulty in the Rambam. Why the Rambam quoted the whole Mechilta four times Malkus, that's difficult. But the Rambam is interesting in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He counts the one Pasuk twice, Elokim Loise Kalel, he counts it twice. Once is Asar LeMegadif Es Hashem, and once is Mekalel, a person who has Smicha. Elokim Loshen Smicha, why does he count it twice? So the Rambam himself takes issue with the Halachas Gedolos. The Sefer Halachas Gedolos is really a Sefer HaMitzvahs. He tries to ascertain which are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Sefer has, and the Rambam doesn't agree with a lot of things that the Halachas Gedolos writes. So the Rambam quotes, the Halachas Gedolos counted Lo Sinof three times. Loisinov, you're not allowed to minzana with an ira hamarasa, and if you did, then the punishment is skila. Loisinov for an isha nesua, you're not allowed to minzana with an isha nesua, and the punishment is chenek. And then there's loisinov, if you have a bas koin who's married, then the punishment will be bisreifa. The baskan will be bisreifa. So the Bahag was of the opinion that since the three different punishments, sometimes biskila, sometimes bechenik, and sometimes bisreifa, so that's a dead giveaway that it's three different lavim. So he canceled his sin of three times. Don't be mizana with a baskayan, and who's married, and don't be mizana with a naira hamarasa, who married naira hamarasa erison, and don't be mizana with an eshes ish nesua. So the Rambam takes issue. He disagrees very strongly with the Bahag. He makes fun of the Bahag. Just because the different onshim, sometimes skila and sometimes reif and sometimes chenek, is no reason, no cause why you should count the same lav three times. It's only counted as one lav. So then the Rambam himself turns around and he has four lavim from the Chumash, which he counts twice. So one of them is this, Elekim lo isekalo. He counts it twice. Once ashor le megadif es Hashem. Once an ashor le mekalo dayan. Then he has the other pasuk in today's sedra that says, "Ashmosu lemachem leis haskiru la yishama al picha." You're not allowed to mention anything from an avodah zarah. So the Rambam counts that pasuk twice also, because the Gemara says, based on the pasuk of Mechumash, if one is meisis, I try to convince someone else to worship avodah zarah, so there's an einish misa. So what avera did the meisis violate? There's a klal ein einishim. We only give an einish aguf, a malchus amisa elan kei masirin. You only give an Reinish Aguf if the person violated some lav or another, some azhara. An azhara means an azharas lav. So where is the lav for one who's mesis, one who tries to coax someone else, try to convince somebody else to worship avodah zarah? So the Rambam says, this is the lav. You're not allowed to mention avodah zarah to try to convince other people to worship it. So the Rambam counts that pasuk once as the lav of mesis. Then he counts the pasuk a second time, for the law for a nishba b'shem avodah zarah, if a person worships avodah zarah, he's chayv misa. But what if he didn't worship avodah zarah? He swears by the avodah zarah. So the Rambam says nishba b'shem avodah zarah is loike, and that's based on this pasuk. Shmosu lemachem lo yisaskiru lo yisham al picha. You're not allowed to be nishba b'shem avodah zarah. So that's the kasha. The Rambam himself disagreed with the halachas gedolos. He can't take a pasuk lasinov and count it three times because you have three different onshim, just because sometimes skila and sometimes chenek by the nesua and sometimes sreifa by the bas koyin shezinso. So just because a different onshim is not a reason why it should count three times. How come he himself counted? There are four lavim that he counts twice. One is elokim lo isekalel, and one is shmosu lemachem lo isaskir. Then another two, the Rambam counts them twice because one sometimes you get misa and sometimes you get malchus. But the Rambam himself disagreed with the halachas gedolos. Just because a different onshim is not a cause, not a reason, not a valid reason why you should count it more than once in the minyan mitzvahs.
Is there a chilek because those are all misa, all those onshim, and the hafkis are all misa, whereas here it's misa and malchus?
Oh, so that's what, on the commentary on the side, the Megillas Esther quotes from the Zohar HaRakia, from the Rashbeis. Rashbeis lived in Algeria. Jews used to live in Spain. So then when they were Redifas in Spain, they went across the straits and they went to Algeria, the northern tip of Africa. Then they were Redifas in Algeria. They ran away to Spain. The Rift lived in northern Africa, and then at the age of 80, I think, there were pogroms in Fez. Rabbi Yitzhak Alfazi lived in Fez. So then when they were Redifas, so he went to Spain, and he made yeshiva at the age of 80, and his second wind. He started a new career in Sfaradit. I guess in Africa he spoke in Moroccan language, whatever. Then when he went to Spain, he spoke Spanish there, had a yeshiva till the middle of the 90s. So the Zohar HaRakia from the Rashbeis lived in Algeria. Zohar HaRakia is a separate sefer on Sefer HaMitzvos. He gives that answer. He says the Rambam disagrees with the Halachas Gedolos by Lasinov because all three are Misa. The Nar Hamarasa is Skila, the Nesu is Chenek, the Baskan Shazinsa is Sreifa, but Atzar HaShem Shebehem, they're all Misa. Mashenikin over here, the four Lavim that the Rambam counts twice, each of the four contain two prohibitions, one has Misa, one has Malchus. So that's an androgynous. That can't be. The Rambam holds that can't be. How can it be that one Lav sometimes has Misa, sometimes has Malchus? The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, in the first parak in Hilchas Tshuva, divides all of the Averis and the Chumash into two categories, Kalois and Chamuras. Some are Mochomer, some are less Chomer. So the Kalois are those that only have Malkus, and the Chamuras are those that have Misa, Koris or Misa. So here, the Rambam is faced with these four, Elekim Lois Kalo. So if you curse a Dayan, you get Malkus. That's Issa Kal. Curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you get Misa. So which is it? What's the nature of the lav? So if someone is a Mesis, he gets an Einish Misa. If someone is Nishba B'Shem Ma'avid Azor, he gets Malkus. How can it be? One Pasuk, one lav, what category does it belong to? Is it Kalas? Is it Chamuris? So that's what the Zohar Harakiah says, like he suggested before. That's how what motivated the Rambam to say must be counted as two lavim. So the Rambam has there another two lavim which he counts by. The other two are not from Parshas Mishpatim. These two are from Mishpatim. Elokim lo yisikal al zeh Mishpatim. The Rambam counts it twice. And Shmos Elachem la'saskir la'yisham apicha is also from Mishpatim. The other two, the Rambam has like this. There's a pasuk in Chumash, lo yisikal acherish. You're not allowed to curse a fellow Jew. And the Gemara says, if you curse your parents, you chayv misa. So where is the lav? So the Rambam says the parents are Jewish. So they're included in the Pasuk, Lo Sikal Cheresh. So the Rambam counts the Pasuk, Lo Sikal Cheresh, twice. Once Ashor Lemekal Alav V'Imai, and once Ashor Lemekal Alav Adam Yisrael. So that's what the Ramban asks on the Rambam. But it's only one Pasuk. Why does the Rambam count it twice? Isn't that a violation of his own rule? And the other Pasuk that the Ramban asks on is the Pasuk, you're not allowed to hurt anybody. You're not allowed to beat anybody up. Lo Yosef pen Yosef. The Chumash says if the Shliach Bezdin is giving Malkus, he's not allowed to give, and they tell him this guy deserves 39 times Malkus or 30 Malkus, whatever, 3 times Malkus, 6 times Malkus, whatever they determine, he's not allowed to give one extra halakor. Lo Yosef lakosem pen Yosef lakosem akarab alelem enik lachich aleinecha. So that's the lab of chovel b'chaver. If you harm someone else bodily, you're in violation of the lav of Lo Yosef pen Yosef. So the Rambam quotes the lav twice in the Minyan HaMitzvah. One is not to be choyvel b'chaveira, and one is not to be choyvel, not to be maka ovi v'imoy. Why does he count it twice? Because maka ovi v'imoy gets misa, and choyvel b'chaveira only pays money, or if there's choyvel b'chaveira, pachas m'shaveh put, there's nothing to pay about, then the Gemara says you get malchus. So these are the two kashas that the Ramban asks. Why is by Lo Yosef pen Yosef the Rambam counts it twice, and by Lo Sikal Cheresh the Rambam counts the lav twice, once Mikal Adam Yisrael and once by Mikal Lav Eviyim. And the Mishnah LaMelech in the Sefer Derech Mitzvah Secha asks the additional two from today's Sedra, from Elokim Lo Sikal El, and from the other pasuk Shmos Elamachem Lo Saskiv Lo Yisham Al Picha. So that's the Rashbates gives the teretz on all four kashas that the Rambam is maskim. That you sometimes count one pasuk twice, if by the nature of the lavim they're so different, one is a isa choma, one is an isa kal, so the tradition has it that it's counted as two. But in all of these psukim, like Elokim Leskalo, there are two levels of interpretation, whether it goes on kodesh or it goes on chol, whether it's referring to the Rabbanu Shalom b'megadif es Hashem, or it's referring to the dayan who has the smicha. Two levels of interpretation. You have a lot of psukim like that, with more than one level of interpretation. Yeah, real smicha. Ish mi pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Has to be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Before the over Yisrael Sayyardim, before the days of Yeshua ben Nun, it was possible to confer smicha b'chutzlos. But Mishav Yisrael Sayyardim, after we entered Eretz Yisrael was nivchara. So from now on, you cannot confer smicha in chutz lo'aretz. Once you get smicha in Eretz Yisrael, so the Mishnah says, the musmochim who go to chutz lo'aretz can function, they can have a Sanhedrin in chutz lo'aretz also. But if you didn't get the smicha in Eretz Yisrael, so you can't get smicha in chutz lo'aretz. That's why for the last over 500 years, way more than 500 years, we don't have anybody getting any smicha. All the smichas are imitation smicha. That's the Ramo and Yeridei, Hilchas Tamid Chacham, he quotes that Barbanel. I think it's the only place where he quotes that Barbanel. He says that Barbanel says that the smicha today, that everybody has only imitation smicha. It's not the real Makor. We didn't really need the Barbanel for that. Everybody knows that. That smicha is only valid if it's conferred in Eretz Yisrael. The smicha that Yam Chutz Lord is a takona, Rebbe made a takona. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Hey quotes, Hiskin Rebbe, Talmud al Yoyre, Elam Kein Noto Rishus Mei Rabbi. A Talmud, a student who learned by Rebbe, shouldn't pass on any shilas unless he has heter hayro. He has permission from his Rebbe to pass on. That's in Yiddish, they used to call, in Europe, they used to call smicha heter hayro, because it's not really smicha. Real smicha is only if it was conferred in Eretz Yisrael. And bizman is that's only talmud al yore, and okay, not al rishus mei rabba. So he has to get rishus to be a more, to paskin shayla, so to teach Torah. So that's why it's more correct. It's referred to as heter hayra.
A few weeks ago, Rabbi quoted the Marba Metzia about Shmuel not being able to receive smicha.
Right.
What is it exactly that smicha entailed that he couldn't receive? I mean, if it's just saying,
I declare that we have to have bezn of three, and we declare that you have smicha. Rabbi Atav Yesh Locha Rishus Lodin Diniknosis.
There was no bezn of three, I guess.
As it turned out, Rebbe was away when it was time for Shmuel to get smicha, when he finished his 4-year smicha program, whatever it happened to be, maybe 20-year smicha program, whatever it was. So then Rebbe was busy. There was a convention, RCA convention or something. He wasn't around. And then Shmuel's boat was leaving, so he had to go to Bavel. So he missed him. He missed him.
So what they were trying to do in Tzfas,
right, the Rambam writes in three different places, once in the Pirush HaMishnayos and twice in the Mishnah Torah. Yeroy Ali, he writes it as an original Chiddush. He thinks that there are two roots. One root of smicha is if you have three Talmidei Chachamim, three people, one of them should be a samuch, so they can give someone smicha. That's going to be smicha ish mipiyish amosha abein. For that, you need a bezna of three. So the other two don't have to have smicha. One of the three have to have smicha, and the other two don't have to. So the bezna confers the smicha. And then the Rambam thinks, really, there's another route. If all of the Talmid HaChachamim from Eretz Yisrael gather together, and they decide that this person should be Rebbe Yato, Yesh Lecha Rishus Lodin Dinin Knosses, they confer the title, honorary title of smicha, of rabbi. So the Rambam thinks that too is another form of smicha. What motivates him? Where does he come off to say such a wild idea? There's another route of smicha. So that
what's the chashivus of the rabbanim if they don't have smicha?
Talmid chachamim. Okay, so they don't have smicha. Okay, so they can't be done dinik nosis. Can't be done gzelus v'chavolus. But they know how to learn, so they'll be able to pass kashavos. They'll teach Torah. So the Rambam is motivated to say this. He explains why. Because the Gemara has a tradition that before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu Navi will come the day before. That's at the end of Malachi. So the Gemara in Erevin understands the pasuk to mean Eliyahu Navi will appear the day before Bias HaMashiach. That means the day of Bias HaMashiach. Eliyahu Navi will appear where? To the Bezn HaGadol. Where are they going to be? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has a tradition that Eser Golias Golsa Sanhedrin. Just like at the end of the period of the Bais Rishon, the Shechina left the Beis HaMikdash in 10 stages. The Gemara documents it from the Psukim in Tanakh. Step by step, the Shechina went from Bein HaKruvim, it went to the window, it went out further, went up to the seventh heaven, and it went away. So too, parallel to that, at the end of the period of the Bais Sheni, the Sanhedrin, Eser Golias Golsa Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin officially used to meet in the Lishka Sagozes. They had an office in the Beis HaMikdash, right bordering on the Azorah. And then they left to Achanus, then they went to Yerushalayim, then they went to Yavne, they went to Usha, to Shvaram, then they went to Tzipori and Tveria, all in the Galil. And then it conked out. And then after floating around in the Galil, it conked out. So the Rambam quotes the tradition that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah has, that La'asid Lava, when the Sanhedrin will reconvene, they will reconvene in the same location where they met last. So that's why in the 1500s, the Mekubalim wanted to be in the Galil, because they were hoping that Mashiach would come anytime. Mashiach is supposed to be announced by Eliyahu Navi appearing the day before, Eliyahu Navi appearing to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin is going to reconvene in the place where they were last. Wherever it was last, it was somewhere in the Galil. Usha, Shvarim, Tveria, Tzipori, somewhere over there. Just a couple of years ago, when they formed the new Sanhedrin, so they reconvened in Tveria. So it's over there in that area. So the Kubalim were hoping to be able to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu, that's today the Yiddish expression is to be Mekabel Panim Mashiach, to greet Mashiach. And the Gemara, the expression is to be mekabel upon him to greet Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is supposed to come the day before Mashiach. So they wanted to greet Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi is supposed to appear to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is supposed to reconvene in the same location where they met Lissa. That's over there somewhere in the Galil. Most of the Jews in the 1500s lived in Tzfat. They didn't live in Yerushalayim. So the one reason is because the water was polluted. It wasn't healthy. And the water in Tzfat was much more healthy. And the other reason was Al-Pi Kabbalah. They were hoping to greet Al-Pi Nigla. They thought Mashiach is in the air. Mashiach is on his way to come. And they're going to greet Eliyahu HaNavi, who comes the day before Mashiach. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to appear to the Sanhedrin. It has to reconvene over there, somewhere in the Galil. So that's the other reason why. So in order to further that cause, to hasten the coming of Mashiach, so they wanted to set up a Sanhedrin. So that's why they decided they're going to start giving smicha. Because the Rambam explains what motivated him. Where did he come off to say such a chiddush nifla that if all the Chachmei Eretz is all gathered together, they can reinstitute the smicha. So the Rambam says, because our tradition has it, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to appear in front of the Sanhedrin. What Sanhedrin? What Sanhedrin? If there's no smicha, you can't have a Sanhedrin. So how is it possible? What's going to be? Eliyahu HaNavi has to appear in front of the Sanhedrin. So he says, so one could say, when Eliyahu HaNavi will come, he has smicha. So he'll convene a bezin of two non-musmachim. The Rambam holds, when you give smicha, you don't need all three members of the bezin have to have smicha. One of them has to have smicha. The other two should be nice religious Jews. So the Rambam could have said, Eliyahu HaNavi will come, he'll take two balabatim, he'll convene a bezin, and he'll give smicha to 71 people, and he'll make the bezin agadol, and then he'll appear in front of that bezin agadol that he just made. So the Rambam doesn't think that's it. He thinks that there's such a thing as chiddush smicha. So that's what he comes up with. If all the rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael gather together, they can confer smicha mechadosh. You don't even need ish min pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. The smicha really, the Rambam understood, smicha really is Klal Yisrael is appointing the person as a somach. That's the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Bchoris around Daf Chavtes, where the Mishnah talks about Dayanim who have smicha, Dayanim who don't have smicha, Paskan and Shailas, Paskan and Dinei Torah. So the Rambam writes there that smicha can only, Pirush HaMishnayis, he writes, smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael because it's a Dovashal Tzibur. And the concept of Tzibur, Klal Yisrael, is only applicable to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam understands when you have a bezin of three conferring smicha in Eretz Yisrael, it's not a private affair. We have smicha and we're giving smicha. They're giving smicha as representing all of Klal Yisrael. That's why he explains. He can't give smicha in Chutz Lortz because the Jews in Chutz Lortz are yechidim. You can't say that there's a tzibur over here. So that's what the Rambam holds. If you have Ishmi Piyusha Moshe Rabbeinu, one person has smicha, he can take another two balabatim, convene a bezin, and confer smicha, and that's considered representing all of Klal Yisrael. If you don't have Yishmi Pi Yishav Moshe Rabbeinu, you live in a generation where nobody has any smicha, so let all of Klal Yisrael gather together, let all the Chachmei HaTorah of Eretz Yisrael join together and confer smicha on a person. So Klal Yisrael gave smicha. He says, you need Yishmi Pi Yishav Moshe Rabbeinu if you don't want to gather all of Klal Yisrael together. But if you prepare to gather all the Chachmei Eretz all together, so the Klal Yisrael gave the smicha. That's how the Rambam understood. So in the 1500s, they gathered together, and they gave smicha to Rabbi Yisrael. Mari Beirav was one of the rabbeim of the Beis Yosef. He quotes him a lot. Every so often, the Beis Yosef quotes Mari Beirav. So he gave smicha to Rabbi Yosef Kari with another two people. Then it was 3-4 years later, they gave smicha to another two people. The Al-Sheikh was one of them, but nothing came out of it. They thought it was going to be Chiddush HaSmicha, we're going to make a whole Sanhedrin. Lemaisa didn't turn out the way they thought.
The Ravaz made an argument. He says, I don't hold with the Rambam in this, and even if we did, because I don't hold with the Rambam, you don't have Kol Gadol Yisrael agreeing, and therefore it doesn't work with the Rambam.
Yeah, there were many who didn't agree, right? The Maral Bach, Rabbi Leib ibn Chabib, lived in Yerushalayim. He was not even invited when they had the convention of all the Rabbanim at Tzfat. So he wrote a whole sefer, the Kuntres HaSmicha. So he says the smicha is not valid, it's null and void. He says, the Rambam says, if you invite all of Chachmei Eretz Yisrael together, he says, I wasn't even invited. The Rabbanim from Yerushalayim were never invited. He said, if he would have been there and you would have outvoted us and you would have said you want to give smicha, okay. So, halach achar harayv, achar rab nahatas. But he said, you weren't even there, you didn't even invite us. How can you, How can you call that all of Chachmei Yisrael gathering together? They didn't invite the Rabbanim from Yerushalayim. Yeah. We have Mishnayos that it's possible to sell an Eved Kenayni. We talk about selling an Eved Kenayni. Can you sell an Eved Ivri? So there's a Mishnah in Erechin that says Beferish that the Odon does not have the ability to sell an Eved Ivri. How do you know that that's the case? Whatever I own in the Eved Ivri, good for Kana, whatever I own, I should be able to sell to the other person. So the answer is that's based on the Pasuk in Chumash. It says, V'chim Karish is Bitol Oma. Then it says, Imroh b'nei Adonai shelo yod v'hefto. If the Odon decides he doesn't want to be miyayed her, he doesn't want to marry her, and he doesn't want to marry her off, then also not, and she doesn't have money to be poured to herself, so then the Pasuk says, Lam nocher le'im shalamocher bevigdabo. The Odon has no right to sell his Amo Hevriya to somebody else. So the Ralbag says on this Pasuk that included in the Pasuk is that you cannot sell an Eved Ivri either. Because the Mishnah is assumed like that. You cannot sell an Eved Ivri, you cannot sell an Amo Hevri as a Mefurish Pasuk. You cannot sell an Eved Ivri either. You can sell an Eved Kenayni. That's Mefurish and Mishnah is all over the place. But how do you sell an Eved Kenayni? What does it mean? The hefda imro b'ena andav shelo yodah. There's really a mitzvah to be miyaye. The odon should be miyaye the amo evriya. And if she's way too young for him, he's in his 30s and she's only 10 years old. So im libno yadena. There's an institution of yud haben. But if you do neither yud haodon nor yud haben, then it says v'hefda. There's a mitzvah spediyah. That's how the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Bechoris writes. There's mitzvahs. Yud kodemus le mitzvahs bedia. There's a mitzvah yud. The odon should marry the girl, the amo ivriya, and that's preferable. And if you don't do yud, then there's mitzvahs bedia. So why is it called vehefta? What does it mean, mitzvahs bedia? What does it mean, mitzvahs bedia? Let's say if I bought the girl from her father for $600,000, and the girl is only 6 years old. And she's going to work for the next 6 years. She's going to go free when she reaches 12 years old. When she becomes a Naira, she goes free. So if I bought her for $600,000 for 6 years, so we declare arbitrarily, even though it does make sense, we divide $600,000 by six. So each year was for $100,000. It doesn't really make sense because a six-year-old girl is not as responsible as an 11-year-old girl. A 10-year-old girl. 10-year-old girl knows how to diaper the baby, so it's not to do much more. So it's not really fair to divide. You take $600,000, divide in 6 years. It's not really fair. So that's the halacha. She can do pidyon. She can be mikaras, mi pidyon, be yotzeis. We divide up the number of years, we divide up the money that the man paid when he bought the amo hevriya. We divide it by the number of years that she has to work until she becomes bas mitzvah, until she becomes a gedoyla. We declare arbitrarily, we subtract that much. You subtract $100,000 for the first year that she worked already. Even though the first year wasn't worth even half of $100,000. When she'll be older, 10, 11, closer to 12, then her services are worth much more. So that's a chiddush. Chiddush number one, you treat all the years as if they're equal in value. That's called Megaras Mipidyona. And chiddush number two, she can do the Geula, she can do the Pidyon Bal Korcha. So that's why Makshim Ha'olam, the Velte Esakasha, why is it called Mitzvah Spediyah? Mitzvah Spediyah on the Odon. What a Mitzvah Spediyah on the Odon. He doesn't do anything. It's completely, he acts B'Shev Altasa. The girl can be Megaras Mipidyona V'yotzes. She pays the money Bal Korcha of the Odon, and she goes free. So why do we call it Mitzvah Spediyah? It's very strange. Why do we call it mitzvah spediyah? So the quote from Rav Elvila Soloveitchik, probably I think it's in the notes that they have in the end of the first parak in Purim, where the Mishnah has that comment, mitzvahs yud kodemus le mitzvahs spediyah, based on the pasuk. So the quote like this, the Gemara says, you cannot sell your daughter as an amo hevriya to a nochri, because it simply cannot lead up to yud. The non-Jew can't marry her. Can you sell your daughter as an amo hevriya to her brothers? They're Jewish, but they can't marry their own sister. So we paskin also not. We paskin ain't a machal lekroivim. Machlekes in the Gemara. We paskin ain't a machal lekroivim. because the whole parsha of selling minkarish is bita l'ama was only formulated in the Chumash if it can lead up to all of the mitzvahs haksuvahs b'parsha. If you're going to sell it to her own brother and he can't do yiud, so then that's not the way the Torah describes the parsha of Amar Hivriya, since it can lead up to yiud, so the whole sale of the Amar Hivriya is not valid. Or let's say I'll sell her to her a relative that he can have yiud atzma, but he can have yiud habein. So that's a discussion in the Gemara in the Rishonim. What do you mean if it can lead up to yiud? So Rav Elbala Soloveitchik said, based on another Gemara in Kiddushin, you can only sell it on by Vriya if it can lead up to the mitzvah pediya. If it will be impossible to do giroin kesef, she won't be able to buy her way out to freedom. Let's say I'll sell my daughters in Amar Hivriya and I'll sell her for less than a pruta. I'll sell her for one pruta. So how are you going to make the giron kesef? What are you going to subtract? You're going to subtract a little bit from the amount that the Odon paid when he bought the Amar Hivriya. So when she wants to go free, what is she going to pay? She's going to pay a pachas b'shar pruta. You can't have such a thing. So the Gemara says, just like you need, in order to be able to sell a daughter as an amar, you need that it should be roy to lead up to pediya, giron kesef, you need it should be able to lead up to yud. So Avvela Soloveitchik is quoted as having said, maybe that's why the Mishnah calls it mitzvahs pediya. What's the mitzvahs pediya? The Odin doesn't do anything. She does the pediya bal karcha. She gives him the money, whether he likes it or not, and she's migaras mipidyon aviyotzes bal karcha. So he thought, maybe that's why the Mishnah refers to it as mitzvahs pediya, to imply this din, that you only have a right to sell your daughter as an amar aviyah if it can theoretically lead up to all the mitzvahs hamuris b'parsha d'hainu, if it can lead up to yud, and it can also lead up to pediya. But if you're going to sell her for a pruta, and the whole sale in the first place was a pruta, so there's nothing to be megarem pidyon aviyotzes, this mechiras bito amar aviyah cannot possibly lead up to a pediya, so the whole sale of the amar aviyah is not chal. So that's what he suggests. Maybe that's why the Tanaim referred to it as mitzvahs pediya, to imply, to indicate this halacha, you can't do the mechira unless you can possibly lead up to the mitzvahs pediya.
How, if a girl can, when she becomes a nara, so she can, she goes free, so a girl can become a nara when she's 18. So how is she supposed to be when, at least according to Tosis? So then how is she supposed to,
Maybe she's 10, she'll
become a nara, she's
17. Yeah, we assume, everyone, usually the girls become nara at the age of 12. Rove cases like that. The girl becomes a nara at the age of 12. When you get to chalitza, you don't rely on that. You can't do chalitza when the girl is a ketana. The Mishnah says in Yevamos, kochi yosa le'ish, when you do chalitza, you have to say kochi yosa le'ish, ish prat le'kotten. A kotten can't do chalitza. Then the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim, whether makshin and ish liish, whether the yivama also has to be a gdoila, or even a ktana can do chalitza. So we say the yivama also has to be a gdoila. Yivama has to be a gdoila. So benigea, most of the time we assume that a girl who reached the age of 12 is probably already a gdoila, probably is has shteisarish, probably is a bas mitzvah. And to get the chalitza, you have to make sure. You have to do bedika. Or if you know that she's ready well over 35, the gila rosh naisav, so then you don't have to make any bedika, even if she doesn't have shteisar, she'll be automatically a gdoila. So the Gemara says the same thing by an ish. Let's say we assume a boy is 13, he's probably bar mitzvah, you can let him darm fanam, and he can be the bal kore, he can be the bal tefila, but you shouldn't let him sign on a get. You shouldn't let him write the ois in a sefer Torah, because when he get the dinim deraisa, we're machmer to make sure that he really has the shtei siris.
So how can you force the adon to take less money if he should be musa? If she,
I mean, how much are you subtracting over here?
Right.
Why do you subtract so much? He bought her for $600,000, and we think for 6 years. Who says 6 years? Maybe she's not going to have the shtei siris till 18. So it'll really be 12 years. So it should only subtract half the amount for every year. Only subtract half the amount for every year. Why do you subtract so much? So Ms. Dami, you go misafik. So he's muchzik on the amoy every year. So he's muchzik. So you go lohokil in favor of the odon. That you're subtracting a bigger amount. He gets paid less. gets paid less. Why does he get paid less? Maybe you should really pay him more. I don't know. That's a good kasha. How do you know to subtract $100,000 for each year? Maybe it's going to turn out she'll be a ketana till the age of 18. So you shouldn't have subtracted so much. You don't even subtracted $50,000 per year, not $100,000. I don't know. That's a good kasha.
Maybe they could say that at the time that she wants to redeem herself, that's when, meaning.
Yeah, but how do you know how long she's going to remain in Amohivriya? She goes free when she brings the simonim. Simonim could be 18. Who says it's going to be at 12? I don't know. That's a good kasha. What do you say? The Gemara says that Rav, yeah, that's called Chazoke de Rabba. I think that Rabba comes up like that, and the Gemara needed that. If the girl is already 12 years old, some mishtamas she has the shtei sagas. So that's a ruba de leisa kaman. So then the Gemara says for chalitza purposes we're machmer to make sure. But it's a ruba de leisa kaman. But that's the shaila in hoch memam and achar harayv. He's asking. When she's paid, so why do you subtract $100,000 per year? Maybe you're only supposed to subtract $50,000 per year. Maybe she was going to remain an Amo Hebrew till the age of 18. I don't know. It's a good kasha. Hey, Avol Adinim, Abravus Nezikin, Chav Taladavus Nezikin. Everything is listed off over here. Then the Torah has the din. If a person is a murderer, you have to give him the death penalty. Even if he runs away to the Mizbeach, but he's not actually doing Avodah, so you still give him the death penalty. So the Gemara points out, what if he's the only Kohen around? And if you're going to give him the death penalty, there won't be anybody able to be makar of the Tminim Musafim till the next Kohen will become Bar Mitzvah. Let's say all the Kohanim died or were killed or whatever, and he's the only one around. So it still says in the Pasuk, Mimiz Bechita Kechen Olamos. You see that Mrs. Besdin is on a higher level than Akrobos Kol Akrobonos. Mrs. Besdin has to be observed, has to be fulfilled, even if it's going to be at the cost of losing out the possibility of bringing Kol Akrobonos. So then the Gemara in Yevamos in Sanhedrin asks Akasha, we should be able to construct a Kavachimer. If A is greater than B and B is greater than C, then A is greater than C. So that's called the Kavachimer of Yesh Bachlal Masaimon. A is greater than B is greater than C, so A has to be greater than C. Usually Kavachimer is something else. That if you see that the regular Schaiv Nezik Shalem, and Karen is only Chayiv Chatzin Nezik, So that shows that regular is Mohammed and Karen. So any chumrah that appears by Karen should certainly apply to a regal. Usually that's the way the kavacham works. This is a different kind of kavacham. Of yesh b'cham simon. A is greater than B is greater than C. So the mela A is greater than C. So the Gemara asks, why not construct such a kavachimer that Misa's Bezin is so important? We administer the Mrs. Bezin even if it's at the expense of losing out the opportunity of all Hakrobas Kol HaKabonis. The one who's getting the death penalty is the last coin around in the world who's Bar Mitzvah. We're going to give him the Einish Misa that will be bottled. We won't be bringing any Tamidim himself in for the next couple of years. So the Pasuk seems to say you give him the death penalty. And then on the other hand, we know that Hakrobas Kabonis Sibra Adecha Shabbos. Tamidim himself Adecha Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara makes such a Kavachimah. So you see that Mises Bezdin is more chomor than Hakrobas Kol HaKarbonis. And Hakrobas Karbonis is Deicha Shabbos. So she come out, A is greater than C, then Mises Bezdin should be Deicha Shabbos. You should be allowed to administer Mises Bezdin on Shabbos. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to. Why not down the Kavachimah that you should be allowed to? So the Gemara says it's a good kasha. And the answer is that there's a Beferish Pasuk that says, what does that mean? B'chol mash v'seichem. So the Gemara says it's referring to Sreifas bas koin. Lo sevar reish means you're not allowed to minister Mises Bezin of Sreifa. B'chol mash v'seichem, where there's a Moshe Bezin. Sometimes mash v'seichem has the connotation of Moshe Bezin. So when Bezin wants to administer Mises Bezin on Shabbos, they're not allowed to. That's the pasuk. Lo sevar reish b'chol mash v'seichem. B'yom haShabbos goes, you're not allowed to minister Mises Bezin on Shabbos. So the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Mishnah Torah counts it as two lavim. There's one lav, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, and then there's another lav, you're not allowed to be Manish B'Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham asks on the Rambam, why did he count it as a separate lav? I would have made a mistake. I would have had an incorrect havamina that Mises Bezdin is Dech HaKrobos Kol HaKarbonos, and HaKrobos Karbonos Siba Dech HaShabbos. So A is greater than B, B is greater than C. So Mises Bezdin is Dech HaShabbos. Gamash Molan the Pasuk that is not Dech HaShabbos, Lo Suvarish, Chomesh HaSech Mayam HaShabbos. So why does he count it as a separate lav? It's the lav of Chilu Shabbos. He counted already the lav of Chilu Shabbos. Why does he count it as a separate lav? And that's, so the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. Others have the same. Many others have the same. Mendel Kasher put out a long essay on this. He put out his essay, HaRamam HaMechilta D'Rab Shimon Ba'Yichoy. The Rambam has a lot of dinim that he quoted from a Mechilta that we don't have. We have a different Mechilta. So Rambam said, this is a Mechilta D'Rab Shimon Ba'Yichoy, which somehow the manuscript was lost. So this is one of the famous pieces that he has. The Rambam got this from the Mechilta Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that you don't administer Mises Beznan Shabbos as a separate lav, and it's not Adri the Surakam. You don't say that Pasuk just Megala, the Kal V'Chaimer is incorrect. No, Kal V'Chaimer is correct. And Mitzad Hilcha Shabbos, it should have been Mutter to be Mechal Shabbos, to give Mises Bezan. It should be Mutter, but it's a different Issa. Sholola Hanish B'Shabbos. And the Achrayim came up with this svar that it could be that to be matal cherem on Shabbos should also be an isa deraisa, to put somebody in cherem even though you're not doing any malacha. If you're doing tilis neshama, so the tilis neshama is a shaychet. It's one of the lamentes of his malachas. What if you just put someone in cherem? He cursed him that he should drop dead. So that's an oinish, but he didn't die yet. So would that be osur or not? So some of the gedolei Achrayim say no. The Rambam holds that this is a separate lav. Shalol ha'anish b'Shabbos, even if there's no chilul Shabbos, the pasuk of Lesav Aresh b'Chomash Veisechem is not megala. Doesn't come to be megala that mitzvahs Mises Bezin is not Dech Shabbos. No, it's nothing to do. It is Dech Shabbos. Pasuk tells you there's an issa shalol ha'anish b'Shabbos.
Don't you mean a gemar din? Do you mean a gemar din of Beis Din?
What do you mean? Do you need a gemar din?
They have to have a formal gemar din, like Nisa or Malkus.
Yeah, yeah.
To put someone in chair and staff together a gemar din that they violate.
When you put someone in chair, that's a curse that he should die. And when he dies, we attribute the death to the curse that the Bezin gave him. That's an einash, yeah. Chairim is an einash, a form of einash, yeah.
So with their Nisa, Bezin with. Give
probably not. The way they're explaining, the way the Avnei Nezer and many others explain the Rambam, they say the mitzvahs Mises Bezdin is Dech HaShabbos, and if the Bezdin will go ahead and administer the Mises Bezdin, they won't be punished. It's Mutta. Just they violated a mitzvah. They violated a loisesa. Shelo lahanish b'Shabbos. And shelo lahanish could be violated even without doing any malachas at all if you put some in a cherem. Rav Soloveitchik in fact had a sofik, if Bezdin will force a person to pay knas on Shabbos. So knas is an einish. So when you say knas, but it's not an einish aguf, it's an einish mammon. When you say that that too is a violation of shalol ha'anish b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to be manish b'Shabbos, if Bezdin would force a person to pay knas. So he said it could be. It could be that that too would be a form of a violation of not to be manish b'Shabbos. The pasuk says that if someone is above a machteres for hook of a mace, is the nitan latzila benafsha. We assume that his ball is kinefoshes. So ain lo damim. If someone kills the above a machteres, it's like killing a right ape, and he's not punished with misa. So how do you translate the expression ain lo damim? For hook of a mace, ain lo damim. I mean, the one who kills him does not deserve the death penalty. That's how you translate. Hook of a mace, someone kills him, ain't lo damim. The one who kills him does not get the death penalty. So the quote from the Vilna Goyen and Naderes Aliyo, that he learned pshat like the Ibn Ezra. Ain't lo damim is a description of the ganef who's the Boba Machteres. Not ain't lo damim, the one who killed him does not deserve the death penalty. The one who's Boba Machteres is considered a gabra ktilo. So he's and if you kill a gabra ktilo, you're not chayv misa. So the pasuk uses the expression "Ein lo damim." We treat the ganef, who's bava machteres, as if his blood is not circulating. Ein lo damim, and an individual whose blood is not circulating is dead. That's the definition of life and death. Al pi pashtas, different opinions. How do you determine the moment of death? So the pashtus for many gemaras is it's determined by circulation. If the blood is circulating, ki adamu anefesh, Tosis and Ksubis points out, ki adamu anefesh, the purpose of the dam circulating is to keep the balchai alive. When the dam is not circulating, then the balchai is not alive. So it says, ein lo damim, the one who's bav machteris is considered as if he were a garbik tail, as if he doesn't have blood circulating in his system. But then the Mechilta has an additional level of interpretation of ein lo damim, because we have a Mishnah that if someone is Baba Machteris, that's the Gemara that he mentioned before from Sanhedrin, if someone is Baba Machteris, the Shibir es HaKelim, and he smashes Kelim while he's in the Machteris, so the Mishnah says that's he's potter from pain because of Kam Levi de Rabbine. So Makshim HaOilom, what kind of Kam Levi de Rabbine? Kam Levi de Rabbine is Shayach. If I kill someone, and simultaneously with the killing, with the act of murder for which I become chayiv misa, I did a hezek and I'm chayiv momen. So then you say Bezni only gives him the onesh achomer of misa, and they don't want to make him pay the momen. On shiosi gedei rishosai, mishim mishachas atam achayvo, v'atam achayvi mishim shtei rishias. But that's if the person became nischayiv misa because he did chilul Shabbos, because he did an act of ritzicha. But over here, the Baba Machteris is not Chayiv Misa, it's Nitan Hatzila Benavsha, temporarily he's a Redif. After the Redifa ends, so it's no longer Nitan Hatzila Benavsha. How did the Tanaim and the Mishnah know that the din of Kam Levi Derabine even applies to such an instance where the Baba Machteris wasn't really Chayiv Misa, it was Nitan Hatzila Benavsha. You were allowed to kill him to save Nafsha Shal HaNirdaf. How do they know there's a din of Kam Levi de Rabbine? So the Afikeyam talks about this, Sefer Afikeyam, Sefer was written 100 years ago, and he writes, he looked in the Mechilta, and Mechilta says it's based on the phrase, Ein lo domim tarti mashma. Ein lo domim, that the one who kills the Baba Machteris is not Chai Misa, because we consider the Baba Machteris if his blood is no longer circulating. And then number two, Ein lo domim, domim tarti mashma, the Baba Machteris doesn't have to pay cash. Domim means money. He doesn't have to pay for any hezek that he does because that's covered with Kam Levi de Rabbine. So you have two psukim of Kam Levi de Rabbine. One is Imlo Ye Asan, Anish Ye Anish, Masan Ye Minasata Nefesh, Tachas Nefesh. That's one pasuk. That's Kam Levi de Rabbine because for killing the Isha, there's an Anish Mises Bezen. Even months and years later, there's an Anish Mises Bezen. Here, while he's Baba Machteres, he's a Gabrak Tila temporarily. So here is another din of Ein Loi Domim. He doesn't have to pay cash. Ein Loi Domim. Domim Tarti Mashma. Two levels of interpretation in the pasuk. You have all the Shomrim in the parsha. You have the Shemachinam, then you have the Shemesacha, then you have the Shoyal. The Secher is not mentioned. That's why there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, where the Secher is Shemachinam, and Shemachinam is Secher is Shemesacha. Then you have Oynes and Mefata. So it says one is Mefata, Naira Besulam, Shelo Ayarosa, has to pay Kesef Yishkol Kemohar HaBesulas. He has to pay Chamishim Shekel Kesef, that was the amount that they used to give to a Ksubas Isham. So some Tanaim in minority opinion, the Rishonim assume that Ksuba is Deraisa. You see from the Chumash that there's an institution of Ksuba Deraisa, 50 Shkolim. We usually assume that Ksuba is Lav Deraisa. Ruba, the Ruba of the Rishonim, assume like the Tanaim, that Ksuba is Lav Deraisa. It's alluded to in the Chumash. There clearly was such a practice. There was a practice that they would give the Kala a Ksuba 50 Shkolim. So the one who's Ma'anis and Mefata, a young girl, is being mafsed her of ever getting a Ksuba's Psula. Now she's already a Bula. So the penalty is, let him pay Chamishim Shekel Kesef, because like Kasha Zamam, he was mafsed her the ability of having a Ksubas Psula. But it doesn't necessarily say, it's using terms, assuming that there is an institution of Ksubas Psula. So here for the Tanaim thought, hey, here you have a Raya, the Ksubas Deraisa. And we assume that Ksubas love Deraisa. And that was the practice, Bizman Matan Torah. Remember, there used to be a balabas in the neighborhood. He used to daven next to him in shul. So he said his brother learned in Slabotke. His father learned in Balozhin. His father was friendly with the Ragachover from Balozhin, he said. And he said his brother learned in Slabotke. And the Rosh Hashiva told his brother, if you want smicha, I'll give you a b'china on Parshas Mishpatim. If you know every single drosha with the Torah Shabbat Pan Parshas Mishpatim, I'll give you smicha. You have everything, Noshim and Azik, and everything is there, with Basa B'chala, with Trefa, with a lot more, with Geirus, with a lot more. Everything is in Parshas Mishpatim. Tomorrow I have to leave early, so I'll try to give shiur at 9 o'clock. Is that reasonable? 9 o'clock, okay.
Tomorrow, I guess, Shai, let me know if you would like. Yeah, we're available to teach everything.
Okay.
Rebbe, you should probably be there. It's like.